Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we reverently and humbly approach thy word this morning and realizing, Lord, that the world is falling apart, and we see so many prayer requests coming before us this morning, and those that are in dire need, Brother Vail, my mother, Brother and Sister Wilson, and Lord, we just pray for all of these requests. Sister Marlene, Lord, with the cancer, we just commit all of these requests, Father, to thee. We ask that you'd help us, Lord, to be mindful of your word and mindful that there are words spoken that we know that by your stripes we are already healed. We believe, Father, that your word is so far superior to any circumstance which we can come into. And we realize, Father, that you have spoken and preordained that there would be sons of God that would be manifested and conformed to the image of your firstborn son. So help us never to lose sight of these promises. And we just now commit thy word into thy keeping in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Picking up where we left off from paragraph 96 of the Spoken Word is Original Seed, Brother Branham said, I'm a Branham because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. Their two agreements with their sperm together made a seed, and that made me. And when God and his word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's spirit waters the seed of God and the word of God. It produces God. And it's not the individual, it's God. For what? You are dead, you're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Then, what is it? It isn't you no more, it isn't the man, it's God in the man. And that's where Brother Vail, years ago, he said, you know, we have to get our eyes off the vessel. Because it's not the vessel, it's who's using the vessel. When Brother Branham stood there and God was speaking through him, he said, I am the Lord that came down. William Branham has nothing to do with this. He just loaned his body to me. But I am the Lord, you know, that came down. So we find then that, and as Brother Branham said, he wants to borrow my body. I want to give it to him, loan it to him, whatever he can get out of it. And so it's not the vessel. And that's what we have to keep in mind, that it's God himself, God who worketh all in all. So when God and his word becomes one, that's when the Spirit waters the seed of God, the word of God, and it produces God. And it's not the individual, it's God. For you are dead, you are not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed word, or the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's a seed germ, like in the beginning, a spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man. Then it isn't the man. It's the man that's died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. So if he's a son of death, give it over to the devil and let him kill it. Give over to God a minute and let him kill the devil that's in you. Run him out. Hollows you out. Then let God plant his own life in you. Then it's not you no more. It's God's life, because it's God's word watered by the Holy Spirit. It will produce the same thing. That's why he called us Messiahs. It should produce the very same life that was in the firstborn son. You see it? I'd just love to preach on that for a few minutes, but with 30 or 40 pages of scripture here, and I've only got three so far. So all right, manifest it. The works manifested the same by us, for it is the same word. Now, if you want to do the works of Christ, do the same thing that he did, that he done. He that believeth on me shall have my works. What is that? Believeth what? That he is the original seed germ that come. Where is the seed? Here. Let me take these handkerchiefs. Here's, and then he takes two handkerchiefs. Says, here's a man that was supposed to be right here. And this is the man that was supposed to be. What happened? Eve hybrided it. She breed it. What it did? Then what did it do? It turned the death, keep dying, dying. Now, this one that comes out, now here stays with the word just the same. Here's the word laying here just the same. Now what happened? Here's the word. Now, and he shows this one. Now, the word that God spoke to multiply and replenish the earth, it couldn't find a place to land. Finally, this word caught into the womb of the virgin. We'll speak of two wombs this afternoon, or and more. And what happened? From him came forth the germ life, the thing that gives, the water that gives the kernel its chance to reproduce itself. The spirit came out of him and went up. Notice he's talking about two wombs, Eve's womb, Mary's womb. One allowed another thing to enter. This one only allowed the word to enter. It wasn't man, you see? It was the word. And the word produced in the womb the life. And we have the womb of our mind. And if we let the same word come into the womb of our mind, it'll produce the same life that was produced in the womb of Mary. Now here we are, we come along, what happened? We believe it. We believe it. But what did Jesus say? He that believeth on me, see? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, the manifestation that the Holy Spirit come in the form of the dove come upon me and done this, not through high breeding, but through virgin birth. Not the course of life like breeding a child, husband to wife, no, not that. Not a hybrid, but a virgin born. Now through this I'm giving this life that is that if you by faith will accept that will accept what Father, all the prophets, all the Word of God, I will pour this life down upon you, and you can't do nothing else but produce the same thing that I am. There you are. So you can't help it. It'll have to produce in you. The works that I do shall he do also. And what did he do? Listen to this. The works that I do shall he do also. People think that's the miracles. But here Brother Branham tells us, what was the works that Jesus did? He says, the works that I do shall he do also. And what did he do? Just as the Father led him, what he saw. You see, he was led by the Father. St. John 5:19, I can do nothing until the Father shows me first. What was he? Made himself a man. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God spoke in word through a virgin, brought forth a body, and in that body come the water, the spirit, and washed by the water of the word, and then went into him, dwelt in him, and there come the life of God manifesting himself through Christ. God was in Christ, the anointed one. What's it all about? That's what it's all about. The same works that were in Christ will be in you. What's that? Getting out of the way so that your Father can work through you. We don't have to be specific and say, well, okay, it's going to be this healing and this healing and this. No. What did Jesus do? I can do nothing. Can't do anything but what he shows me to do. In other words, die out to self. It's just that simple. Maybe that complex. Depends on how thick-headed you are. Romans 8 and 2. We read, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is he saying? Notice there's a law of life that Paul is speaking of here. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In other words, if the seed germ, the germ seed, the word seed germ is in you, the very life of God is in you. He's talking about the law of this life that's in you. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's why a man can lay hands on another. A believer can lay hands on another. That person will be healed. Whereas the law of sin and death says that person's got to die. Brother Bram would often talk to the patient and he'd say, well, the doctor's given me 3 months to live. He said, that's all the doctor can see. That's why he says you got 3 months to live. But I say that God himself, that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you're already healed. Now get up. Who are you going to believe? What I say? What the word says? Or what the doctor says? You see? That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. In the anointing. Notice there's a law of life. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. Now that's the law of sin and death. For what the law of sin and death could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law, that the right wiseness, that the correct understanding of the law might be fulfilled in us. Not in him, in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, the whole thing's about you. Why do you think God sent his firstborn son? His his beloved son, the one he loved the most. Why did he send him to die? Because he has other sons that he loved. So God made the sacrifice. He said, one for all, so that all might be for one. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending forth his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the right wiseness, or the correct understanding of the law, might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're looking here at the law of life, the life that was in Christ Jesus, actually being fulfilled in us. And here is a key to our understanding this law. Verse 5. In fact, you might want to follow along in Romans 8, and we're picking up at verse 5 here. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we see that this law of life concerns the Spirit life that was in Christ, but of which has come back upon us after it was released from that vessel of the firstborn son on the day of Calvary. And that life has come into other sons, namely us, that it also might manifest itself in our flesh, or fulfill itself in our flesh. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Let's put it this way, instead of using the word minded, let's put, to be carnally focused is death. But to be spiritually focused is life and peace. To be spiritually minded, to be spiritually focused is life and peace. So we do not mind or focus on the things of the flesh, but of the things of the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God rests in our mortal flesh. Because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. You can't figure these things out mentally. When they say you've got 3 months to live, you can't figure out what can I do so that I can live longer. No, you can't do that with your mind. All science backs these guys up, says you've got 3 months to live. But the Word of God says that there's a law of life of the Spirit of Christ. And we're set free from this other law. It doesn't pertain to you. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Of course, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you know the law of the Spirit doesn't apply. Now, you see, that is what makes us different from other men. We're born again of the Spirit of God. The same Son of God life that was in the original Son of God seed that manifested in his flesh is now in our flesh and is waiting to manifest that same life in you and me. Verse 10, and if Christ, the anointing, be in you, the body, your body, is dead because of sin. But, and that's a big but here, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. In other words, the Spirit comes to life because of the right word. Now, this next sentence is where Paul places it all. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. And remember, if it quickens your mortal bodies, the actual definition of mortal means that which can die, that which is capable of dying. The Greek word is translated from the Greek from the word thanatos, which means it is capable of dying. So he's not talking about the body that's in the grave that's already dead, and it'll quicken it to a resurrection. We know that that's possible. In fact, we know that that's what's going to happen. But while you're still living, this body that's capable of dying can be quickened. And that's what we're looking for in this hour, the great quickening. So Paul says that if the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead dwells in your mortal body, your bodies that are capable of dying, that are liable to die, it will quicken those same bodies and they will never see death. In other words, he's not speaking of a quickening of the body which is already dead, but that which is capable of dying. That is why we hear in John 1 John 1 and verse 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. The word of life. We've handled it. We've seen it with our eyes. We've heard it. How can you hear something that's invisible? Through the vessel that made it become visible. That which was from the beginning. Well, what's in the beginning? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. Which we've heard. Okay? Which we've seen with our eyes. Which we've looked upon and our hands have handled. That Word coming into the senses. That Word manifesting itself in such a way that you can see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The Word of life. And remember, the same John who wrote this epistle also wrote the Gospel of John, where he reported Jesus as saying that the Word is spirit and life. And he tells us of this life. He says that for the life was manifested. Now, I want this to soak in. The life was manifested. In other words, that Son of God seed life that is in the firstborn Son came into manifestation. And as a result, John says, and we've seen it. And we bear witness to it. And we do show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So if that life that was with the Father and in the Father, then when it came forth from the Father, it came forth as the original seed, which was Jesus Christ, God's firstborn Son. Then it came into expression. That which we've seen and heard. In other words, that which we have seen is the actions of the God life in the vessel of the firstborn Son. And that which we have heard are those words which came forth or were spoken by that firstborn Son. In John 5:26, he said, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And remember John 5:19 and John 5:30. 5:19 says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing, for what things soever he, the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So you can't see the Father doing, but he could. And then he did what the Father was doing, and now you can see what the Father's doing. And verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And again in John chapter 14, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Therefore, what I want to show you in this verse is that I want you to see how that the very life that was in the Son of God manifested itself. It manifested itself in complete obedience to the Father's commandment. Jesus then became a funnel, a channel, a outpouring or a manifestation, an expression of the very life of God. In John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment. What I should say, what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. He's a conduit only. A conduit only. That which we've seen, which we've heard from the beginning, the word of life, it was manifested unto us. How? Through a conduit. That's why Brother Brown said, it doesn't matter, don't look at the man. It doesn't matter who the man is. Is there God life? Is there a God, Son of God seed in the man that's being watered by the Spirit? Remember, get those MP3 water sprinklers out. And sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. Get that water. The washing of water by the word. Then it doesn't matter what vessel you are. It only matters whose seed is in there. So he did not speak without knowing what to say, because he was dependent upon his Father to know what to say. And that is exactly what he then said. Verse 2. For the life was manifested in the chosen vessel of the original seed, Jesus Christ. And we've seen it, and we bear witness, and we do show unto you that eternal life. And remember, there's only one form of eternal life, that's God's life. But we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. How? Through a vessel. Through a vessel. Now, in this day, we've seen that life manifested in another vessel, William Branham. But it wasn't just for him. It's for you and I. John 14 and 12 was not just for Brother Branham. We might want to say that if we don't understand what John 14 and 12 was. When he said, these signs shall follow them that believe, that's us. But when he said John 14 and 12, when he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, even greater than these, for I go to my Father. We all say, well, see, that was just Brother Branham. If the hand's doing it, the whole body's doing it. Yeah, we used to think that way. But let me tell you something. That's not what Brother Branham is saying here. He's saying it's not the vessel. It's the one doing it. And if you just step aside from who you are in the flesh to realize who you are in the spirit, sons and daughters of God. And he said, Brother Brown tells us right here what that greater works is. What that works is. The works that I do shall you do also. He said that's doing nothing but what the Father shows you. Saying nothing but what the Father shows you. Having no will but the Father's will. Being the expression or the conduit for God to express His life through you. For the life was manifested in a chosen vessel, Jesus Christ. We've seen it, we bear witness, we do show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. How do you show eternal life if God is invisible? Because it's manifested in the vessel and was manifested unto us. In other words, the very purpose of the manifestation of that Son of God seed life is that they could witness how that life was manifested itself in a body. And this one happened to be called the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And John goes on to say that which we have seen with our eyes and have handled with our hands, declare we unto you. We speak of that unto you. That you also may fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now how does that seed get into you? Through the Word. The declaration. Faith cometh by hearing. You see? And by hearing that Word, that seed is planted down into your soul. And by letting go and letting God, by asking God for the greatest gift, and that is to get yourself out of the way, that life can take over in you. Then wash it by the washing of water by the Word. Water it until out pops a limb, out pops the arm, out pops manifestation of God life. Now, in getting back to Romans 8, Paul continues in verse 12. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, that means kill off the deeds of your body, you shall live. In other words, the only way that you can actually live in your flesh is to die to self and get out of the way that the God life in you may take over your mortal flesh. That is what Paul says in Galatians 2 and 20. For I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. Nevertheless, I'm living. I'm dead, but I'm living. I'm dead, but I'm living. I'm dead, but I'm living. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And what faith did Jesus live by? The faith of His God, His Father. The revelation that God gave Him. And that is why, at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the very purpose of the revelation of Christ is that it might be revealed in us. That the very same life, and if revealed in us, then also manifested in us as well. Now let me read that again to you. Because it's very important. That is why at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, Paul said, I'm dead, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm dead, yet I'm living. Dead, yet I'm living. Dead, yet I'm living. But what's living me? It's not me, it's Him. This vessel has become a conduit for Him, His Spirit. His life, living in me. And the life I live by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God, who gave Himself for me. And that is why at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, this hour, The very purpose of the revelation of Christ is that it might be revealed in us, that very same life, and if revealed in us, then also manifested in us as well. Because the word revealed means to come forth from being hidden into fully made known. In Colossians 3 and 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now what Paul is showing us here is that we should pay close attention, because he is showing us how to let go and let God. Don't we all want to know that? Wouldn't you just love to learn how to let go and let God? Just get out of the way. Everybody wants to be like Brother Branham, but they're not willing to do the same thing. Get out of the way. You see, everybody wants to go and have great manifestations, or have great, gifts expressed and everything else, but he just got out of the way. God used him the way God wanted to use him. He wants to use you the way he wants to use you. You see? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your affection. We all have affection, don't we? He said, set those not on the things of earth, but on the things above. Now what Paul is showing us here is that we should pay close attention, because he's showing us how to let go and let God. He's showing us here how to set our affection on things above. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ, with that anointing in God. Your life is hid with Christ, with the anointing by which you have been anointed in God. Now I want you to especially catch the next thing that he tells us here, because it has to do with this hour. He says, therefore, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phaneru, which means to manifest in his true identity. So when Christ comes down and manifests himself in his true identity, then shall you also appear, then shall you also phaneru, then shall you also manifest in your true identity with him in glory, with him in doxa. And we know the word doxa of God is the opinion, the values, and judgments of God. So when Christ, who is our very life, comes to manifest his life before us in a vindicated prophet, then shall we also manifest that same God life in these mortal bodies. And notice it says how that we'll do this. It says, with him in doxa. With him expressing the same opinion, same values, same judgment. So you have God comes down, he takes the body, William Branham, he steps into that body, he manifests himself to the world, and you say, wow, this is really something, watching God manifest himself. But Paul said, that's not the only thing. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phaneru, shall manifest himself in this vessel that he chooses to, so shall you also be manifested with him in the same opinion, values, judgment. When Christ, who is our life, not William Branham's life, our life, his life, my life, your life, when he comes down and he begins the process through sons. That's why we should all be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, because we're ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. William Branham happened to step into it. Well, we weren't even born when he was around. A lot of people weren't in here. 1965, just a show of hands. How many people in here were born after 1965? Raise your hands. After 1965. How many people in here were born before 1965? Yeah, we're outnumbered. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Our life. Not just in one vessel. Our life. Yours and mine. When he shall appear, when he shall phaneru, when he shall manifest his true character, how is he going to do that? Through you, through me. Then shall we manifest. When he manifests, then we have to manifest. That's what he's saying. When he shall manifest in his true character, we shall manifest. When he shall appear, we shall appear. Why? Because he's using you to appear. He used William Branham to appear. That's right. He's using you to appear. Then shall you also appear. Then shall you also phaneru. Then shall you also manifest in your true identity with him in glory, with him in doxa, with him in the same opinion, the same values, the same judgment. See, that's why you come to be indoctrinated in church. I say that because it's doctrine we're talking about. Nothing wrong with being indoctrinated in the right thing. We are coming together to be endoxazo, to put on, to express the doxa of God, the opinion, the values, the judgments of God. Every father wants his children to have his opinions, his values, his judgments, if he's a right man. So when Christ, who is our very life, comes to manifest his life before us in a vindicated prophet, then shall he also manifest the same God life in those mortal bodies of you and I. And notice he says how it's done. With him, in doxa. With him, expressing the same opinion, same values, same judgments. Then Paul tells us how that we'll be able to do this in these bodies of flesh. He says, therefore mortify. That means dead. Means kill it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, kill it. Uncleanliness, kill it. Inordinate affection, kill it. Evil concupiscence, kill it. Covetousness, kill it. Which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Why? Because they haven't killed it. In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. When you lived in them, not with them, but in them. But now you also put off these. Anger, kill it. Wrath, kill it. Malice, kill it. Give it no place in this flesh. Blasphemy, kill it. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Dirty jokes, kill it. Let it have no place in this flesh. Why? Well, you want to manifest the flesh or you want to manifest God? You want to be his vessel or your own? Filthy communication out of your mouth, kill it. Lie not one to another, kill it. Seeing that you put off the old man, which is with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, that is the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God our Father. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. He is all and in all. And then he says, after you have laid aside your mortal flesh with all of those characteristics of nature, of the natural flesh, then in order to do all that you must first, put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, put it on, don't kill it. Kindness, put it on, don't kill it. Humbleness of mind, put it on, don't kill it. Meekness, put it on, don't kill it. Long suffering, put it on. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, put it on. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Listen, Paul says in Galatians 3, he says, put on Christ. Put on Christ. He's the firstborn son. Jacob went before Isaac. He put on Esau, and he received Esau's blessings. He looked like Esau. He smelled like Esau. He felt like Esau. He wore Esau's clothing. And he came in Esau's name. And he spoke like Esau. And therefore, Isaac could only do one thing, and that's give him Esau's blessing. And so Paul says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Put them on. Kindness, put it on. Humbleness of mind, put it on. Meekness, put it on. Long-suffering, put it on. Forbearing one another, put it on. Forgiving one another, put it on. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you also. Put it on. Forgiveness. And above all these things, put on love, charity. And charity is always expressed in giving. Put it on. Which is the bond of perfectness or the bond of maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Thank you for the song today. It was very lovely. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, see, that's what Paul's saying. Put it on. Express it. It's coming from your heart. Express it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm doing this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm laying hands on the sick. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm giving this gift to this person to help them. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, that's why we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a deed. We do all in the name of Jesus. So whatever book you're reading, can you do it in the name of Jesus? Whatever you're listening to, can you do it in the name of Jesus? If you can't, then don't do it. You see? And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then Paul wants to show us how to apply these things in our everyday setting or environment. He then says, wives, how do you want to put on Christ? He says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, you want to manifest Jesus Christ? Love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, you want to manifest Jesus Christ, the life of God in you? Obey your parents in all things. Don't argue, don't fuss. In all things. You know, there's a movie that was put out by PBS, I believe it was, or some Canadian. It was about, called John Adams. And they showed the life and times of John Adams. They showed the way that the young people were. And you notice how obedient the children were to their parents, even in their 40s, 50, and 60 years old. They didn't fight. They didn't fuss. John Adams wanted his son, John Quincy, to do a certain thing. He said, I don't want to do it, Dad, but I will. Only because you want me to. The other son, he fought and fussed with his dad all the time. He died a drunk. But John Quincy became the fourth president of the United States, or fifth, fourth or fifth. See. Fifth president of the United States. All right. So he was obedient. He did what his father wanted him to do. He expressed, yet, Dad, I don't want to do it. I really have other plans. But nevertheless, if it means that much to you, I'm going to lay aside. And John Quincy Adams was a real Christian man. If you read his biography, he was a real Christian man. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Put on Christ by doing so. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. When you're not bitter against your wife, even though there may be good cause to be bitter, he says, be not bitter, you're putting on Christ. Children, obey your parents in all things. When you do so, children, you're putting on Christ. That's your, sometimes that's your crucifixion. It is. But you're doing it as Christ. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord when you do that. Well-pleasing. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. When you don't provoke your children to anger, and you have good cause maybe, but you don't provoke them, you're putting on Christ. Servants, obey in all things. In other words, if you got a job, work for the company. Do what you're supposed to do. If they hire you to do a certain thing, do that certain thing. Servants, obey your masters in all things, according to the flesh, not with eye service or men as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. I do my job well because I fear God. I'm doing it for Him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, with your whole heart, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. When the man said, they were talking in the bar, and remember Brother Bram's story? They said, well, there isn't such a thing as a real Christian anymore. And the guy said, well, I know there's one left at least. That's my wife. He said, oh, I don't believe that. He said, there isn't any. He said, listen, we'll go home and put her to the test. They came home and acted like they're drunk. He said, why fix me some eggs? So she went out in the kitchen. She started to fix them. And she brought them to him. And he took the plate. He threw it across the kitchen floor and said, that ain't the way I like them. He said, come on, boys. Let's go. They walked out in the other room to see how she'd respond. Instead of her getting upset, start flipping her mouth, she began to sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. That testimony led those three men to Christ. What Christ are you portraying when you flip off? When you get angry, when something doesn't go exactly the way that you think it should go, crucify yourself. Let it go. And let God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. What's that? Because you're a child. You're a son of God, a daughter of God. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I don't care who you are, prophet, apostle, teacher, pastor, evangelist, whatever you are, makes no difference. Anointed King of God, it doesn't make no difference. There's no respecter of persons. If you do wrong, you're going to reap the wrong that you've done. So Paul tells us here how that we are to apply that very life of Christ that is in us by the new birth. Now let's go back to Romans 8 again and pick up at verse 14 where he says, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The devil's not led of the Spirit of God. His seed aren't led of the Spirit of God, but as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they're sons of God. Look, Paul is telling us that the evidence of your sonship is what's leading you. If God is the one who's leading you, it is because you are a son of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So it is not fear that binds you to God, it is the spirit of adoption because you are sons. God hath given you the spirit of adoption that brings you identity with him as your father. And not only does your spirit identify with him as your father, but his spirit identifies that you are indeed his son. Because it doesn't matter if your seed, if your spirit identifies with him. If he doesn't identify back, you're lost. You're not a son. Verse 16, the spirit, God's spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you see, no matter how much you believe that you're a son of God, it is God bearing witness with you that counts. The Pharisees claimed Abraham to be their father, and Jesus told them if Abraham were their father, they would do the works of Abraham. Because every seed after its kind. And that is that they would recognize the word when it came to them. He called them seeds of the serpent, and they then claimed that they were not seeds of the serpent, but that God was their father. He said, if God were your father, you'd believe me because he sent me. In John 8:38, he said, I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. In other words, every seed after its own kind, after its own nature, after its own source. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. They said, well, you being a man, make yourself God. Listen, God came to Abraham as a man. And if they were seed of Abraham, they would have recognized that that was God in that vessel of flesh. You see? They would have responded like Abraham did. They would have got out the fatted calf. But you do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot. It's impossible for you to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me or convict me of unbelief? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. He that is of God, he that's out from God, hears God's word. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God, because you're not of that same source. Now, getting back to Romans 8, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. Now, that word glorified together is made up of a Greek word called sundoxazo, which means together reflecting or expressing the same opinion, values, and judgment. Together. Christ the firstborn. Christ the first fruits. Then all the fruits after that are the same. Like Adam was expressing last week, he said, you know, there's a certain apple. What was it called? The apple that from just one little seed, there's plants in California and Canada and all over the world. Yeah. All of it originates from one. Huh? All of it. Like Brother Bram said, when that little apple tree is an inch and a half tall, the hundreds and hundreds of pounds of apples that had ever come off that tree were in that seed to begin with. And take it back to the first original apple tree. All the millions and millions and millions of pounds of apples that ever came forth were in that original seed that God laid in the earth, that original tree. All the millions and millions and millions. What'd it take? Water. Water, water, water to express it. Hallelujah. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together, that we also may be sundoxazoed, that we also may reflect together or express the same opinions, values, and judgments together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the opinion, values, and judgment, which shall be revealed in us. Is God's values in you? I believe it is. God's opinions in you? I believe it is. God's judgments, the things you're going to stand on, are they in you? I believe it is. Yes, he said, revealed in us. There you are, he said, the very mind of God would be revealed in us. Now, this word revealed was translated from the Greek word apokalypsis, which is mainly used in the scripture as a word reveal or revelation. We have a tendency, however, when using the word revelation, to think only in terms of a mental concept or idea. But this word apokalypsis goes beyond simple having an understanding. In addition to the concept of understanding, it also places an emphasis on the source of that understanding and the reason that one is able to understand. The revelation is therefore induced by an unveiling or an uncovering that gives the revelation life. How does that apply to you and I? That revelation comes in you and it manifests itself through you. In you and through you. And that manifestation gives life to that revelation. In the Church Age book, also known as the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the page 13, paragraph 3, chapter 1, Brother Bram said, now the Greek word for revelation is apokalypse, which means unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of a sculptor unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. It is an uncovering, a revealing what was previously hidden. So what was previously hidden in you before the foundation of the world? What you're expressing today. We therefore see that the unveiling itself is a stimulus for the revelation. Because the unveiling is the action that reveals. Once hidden, but now brought into plain view. This is the essence of apokalypsis. And John said in 1 John 3 and 2, beloved, now are we sons of God. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, it is hidden now. But we know that when He shall appear, when He shall manifest in His true identity, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. And how does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the Word. How do you purify yourself? The same way that you express the manifestation. By the washing of water by the Word. The Word cleanses and the Word brings into manifestation. Now back to Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation, the making known or the bringing into full view of the sons of God. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, what is a glorious liberty? It is the freedom that we have in Christ due to our having His mind, His doxa. His doxa liberty, or the opinion, values, and judgments, brings liberty. Because you're not bound to this flesh any longer. You see? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why would he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints of God according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So you see, our key is right there. We have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. And so with that in mind, that predestinated path takes us to the next verse, verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, remember Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4? We were predestinated before the foundations of the world. We were predestinated to the adoption of sons. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. So you've got to recognize that calling. And whom He called, He also justified. And we know that we're justified by faith, which is revelation. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That word is doxazo, which means to come into full expression of what you are ordained to be. Hallelujah. If you were in God and had representation in Him before the foundation of the world, to be predestinated to sons of God, you are going to manifest it. Glory to God. He which began the good work in you, He's going to finish it. Just get out of the way. Get out of the way. Let Him do it. What shall we then say of these things? Verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also give us all things freely? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is He that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Persecution? Famine, nakedness, peril, sword, cancer, car accidents. As it is written, for Thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank You for Your word. We see, Father, the plan, how that You intend to use these vessels to manifest Your life, that we would bear the same fruit as a firstborn seed, which was your son Jesus Christ, and that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience, godly love, and the doctrine. And may we understand, Father, and may we reveal, may we apocalypsis, may we unveil, not we, but may you unveil through us, using our flesh, our vessel, your God life. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
God bless you. See you Wednesday night.